to another program of Savoir Faire. My name is Madani Faruja and I will be your hostess during these programs. This program is being brought to you by the History of Art Department, University of Malta, under the coordination of Dr. Giuseppe Scambri Bonacci, who is also the Artistic Director of the MDINA Contemporary Art Biennale 2015. The series will be focusing on exploring design and designers. The topics will be extremely varied, from luxurious objects and famous designers to everyday objects. You can also view images of the objects that we will be discussing during the program by accessing a website built specifically for this program. The website is as follows: www.melfarrugia.wix.com/savoirfaire. That's www.melfarrugia.wix.com/savoirfaire. Wix.com is spelled wix.com and savoirfaire savoirfaire. This can be accessed through your mobile phone as well. All you have to do is go to the Programs tab and click on the program number accordingly. You can also find us on Facebook by searching Savoir Faire, and I urge you to like us. And also to like the Campus FM Facebook page, which you can find at Campus FM 103.7. Welcome to the fifth episode of this series, and today we will be talking about fashion designing. You can follow images of what we are mentioning during today's program by going to Program 5 under the Programs tab on the website. We shall be meeting a young Maltese fashion designer, Ritien Zamit, and later on in the program we will get to know more about the woman who was the milliner of Queen Marie Antoinette and who almost single-handedly controlled the aristocratic fashion in the court of France in the late 18th century. The first part of the program, when we will meet Ritien Zamit, will be in Maltese, and the rest of the program will be in English as usual. So, let's start with our special guest today, fashion designer Ritien Zamit. Manna mana l-Ritien Zamit li hija fashion designer Maltija. Ritien, kif inti?
Alright, mhux ħażin. Grazzi tal-istudina tiegħek.
M'hemmx imniex. Mela, insiru daqsxejna fuqha daqsxej aktar, minn fejn inti?
Jiena proprjament minn Birkirkara ma bħalissa qiegħda ngħix il-Belt u fil-fatt immuvi għajt bl-istudio kollox ġewwa l-Belt Valletta.
U kif ġietek il-ħajra li tibda tiddiżenja l-ħwejjeġ?
Ifem, il-kreattività di mdejem kienet ġo fija, kienet nistanajt minn mindu kol zaħira. Kienet ħagġa li dejem kont nisperimenta bija, meta jiġu ideja ġodda liktar ħagġa li teċitani nistanajtek, u komplejt nizviluppa fuqa along the way. Mbagħad kbirt, studijajt fis-settur, graduajt u ovvjament bdejt il-freelance tiegħi.
U Malta, per esempio, jekk wieħed irid jistudja dan it-tur, x'korsijiet?
Jiena ħriġt through MCAST. Huwa xi ħaġa vokazzjonali. Għamilt il-BA Honors fl-Interior Design u 3D Product Design u ovvjament speċjalizzajt, dejjem speċjalizzajt fil-qasam tal-moda. Għalkemm fis-sens bħala settur ta' studju l-emkas dak li toffri bħala design u arti, għaxan ka ovvjament toffri l-fine arts. Ovvjament, mbagħad l-università toffri f'qasam ieħor bħal arkitettura u history of art.
Inti ħadt sehem fil-Fashion Week aktar minn darba u kellek ukoll fashion show fis-Serbja, jekk rajt sew fuq il-Facebook page tiegħek.
Mela, pratikament l-ħar sena 2014 kienet t-tieni sena tiegħi li ħadt sehem fil-Malta Fashion Week. L-istess collection Autumn Winter 14 ħadt sehem biha wkoll fil-Serbia Fashion Week. Ovvjament hemmhekk ħarġet il-kultura kemm Maltija u għamlet kontrast ma' dawk ta' Serbi, għax is-Serbi huma pjuttost daqsxejn konservativi kemm fil-kulur u kemm ukoll daqsxejn fid-designs. L-użu tal-iswed tara ħafna, mentri fil-collection Amen kienet nista' ngħid elaborata kemm fil-kulur u kemm fil-qasam ta' prints.
U ġejt mistiedna inti biex tipparteċipa?
Mela, ġejt ikkuntattjata mill-organizer tal-Malta Fashion Week ta' Malta, Adrian J. Mizzi, u ovvjament morna nippreżentaw il-Malta fi ġewwa Serbja.
Proset. Ritjen, inti tażel timxi ma' trends attwali jew tażel suġġett u tiffoka l-kollezzjoni fuq?
Ifhem, jiena ma narax trend li xi ħaġa li tillimitani. Jiena iktar nimxi nibda mill-inspiration. Nibda mill-inspiration, nagħmel brainstorming fuq l-inspiration wara nimxi għall-materjali, nara x'għandi fil-qasam lokali, nara nistax nixtri xi ħaġa anke minn barra u nimxi minn hemm. Trends jitlu wkoll, alright, jekk ħadd tiddisinja xi ħaġa x-xitwa pereżempju, ovvjament ħa tara il-materjali li huma iktar ħoxnin pereżempju. F'dak l-iktar qasam jiena dejjem nibda minn inspiration tipo tema. Tema u dejjem indur magħha sakemm minnhom u mbagħad joħorġu l-materjali kuluri u affarijiet oħra biex toħloq l-istorja tal-fashion show biex niftehmu.
Forse nistgħu niddiskutu xej il-collection Amen, għax jiena vera affaxxinatni.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Min istajt nara jiena ġejt influenzata ħafna mir-reliġjon.
Eħe, mi kattoliċizmu.
Eżatt, tidina daqxej fuq din il-kollezzjoni u xem li huma affarijiet li huma vera partikolari u forsi nistgħu nsemmu xi stampi li ħajkun available fil-website ukoll.
Mela, pratikament il-kollezzjoni għammen ġiet inspirata mill-kattoliċizmu, mill-knejjes kattoliċi Maltin li fihom insibu ħafna stili ta' barokk u rokoko u anka romantiċizmu li kienet trasmessa fil-ħwejja ċista ngħidlek, id-Damask li kellu rwol importanti fil-collection u koll il-brocade. Fl-istess ħin hi kellha kontradizzjoni bej tradizzjoni tagħna kif taqbad tgħid bħala pajjiż. Imma fl-istess ħin kien hemm il-kontrast li dażżagħżugħ irid joħroġ mit-tradizzjoni u jagħmel xi ħaġa ġdida. Mentri il-mużika, minn kien preżenti dikinhar fil-fashion show, il-mużika kienet kollha hip-hop, hip-hop tan-90s, li kien hemm tipo kontradizzjoni sħiħa. Anka l-attitudni li kellhom il-modelli li ħadu l-modelli kienet daqsxejn aggressiva u daqsxejn gangster se ngħidilha hekk. Kien hemm dik il-logħba għalkemm il-ħwejjeġ pereżempju kienu kollha ma kinux kollha. Kien hemm pereżempju kxif ħanejtek, xorzijiet, malji pereżempju, li għalkemm huma inspirati mill-Knisja, ma bqajniex on the safe zone kif taqbad tgħid u mort kollox moti, le imma kien hemm.
Mhux żgħid id-Damask ħafna mill-ħin.
Ovvjament id-Damask li qed jippreżenta kif taqbad tgħid il-Knisja.
Iż-żin tal-Knisja,
eżatt, il-ħejlos qed jirrappreżenta l-spiritualità. Lura kien hemm ħafna punti żgħar li mmulaw kif taqbad tgħid.
Image number one, ħa naraw dan li għadek f'semmit inna ritjen u ħa naraw xi disenni mill-kollezzjoni fejn qed jintuża d-Damask. U għadek kemm semmejt il-Halo. Image number two, qed naraw dawn lek ħa sejħulek aksessori fejn qed naraw ir-raġira dik li aħna tradizzjonalment narawha.
Infatti kellha tkun raġira.
Narawha tidentifika l-qaddisin qed tiġi użata fil-ħod kutur. Eħed kompli tgħid kien hemm aktar affarijiet ta' reliġjon milli.
Le, kien hemm ħafna affarijiet, tipo kien hemm il-kliem użati fit-talb kattoliku bħal Amen u Ave.
Kien hemm
il-Sacred Heart ukoll fosthom affarijiet li kollha kienu meħudin inspirati mill-Knisja ħanejtek. U ovvjament kif qed lek ġew kien hemm dak il-kuntrast ta' xi ħaġa aktar moderna. U fil-fatt il-modern ukoll kien preżentat permezz tal-materjali. Il-klassiċiżmu li ħareġ il-barokk, ir-rokoko u r-romantiċiżmu tru id-Damask u l-plastik li kienet jippreżenta il-modernizmu biex ngħidlek.
Kelli kurzita oħra wkoll. Min kien li bes dawn il-ħejlows, dawn ir-raġiri, x'kienu l-kommenti tagħhom?
Le, kienet kif ħarġu
ximni. Ħaġa li verament unexpected.
Kienet sorpriza nis, ħanejtek, imma kif ħarġu tista' ngħid li għamlet boom. εντός μου αφνάς, imagine, ή τύπο...
Σοκ στον Ιταϊέπ.
Εσύρ αντίς, βλαμματική κανονιτζάτη.
Ναι, είναι βαμέτε, είναι τσάια, είναι πρόβα, είναι μεσβάδα, τόστε κανάρα. Μέρα, όταν η κολλεξιόνια είπε Σέρβια, ma nafx bħala kultura kif.
Le, hija kultura differenti ħafna.
Eżatt, fil
għandna tibqa' kultura mediterranja.
Le, qed ngħid pereżempju aħna għalina fimna l-kontrast li qed tagħmel għax dawn affarijiet li naraw
fil-knejjes
tagħna. Fil-knejjes tagħna, eżatt, u tradizzjoni tagħna.
Infatti eħe, kieku naħseb kien hemm forsi xi ħaġa aktar spjegata kemm kif taqbad verbalment jew xi ħaġa miktuba kienet tinftija miktar il-kunċett tagħha. Għax barra minn hekk ġo Serbja ma nsibux ir-reliġjon Kattolika ma nsibu l-Ortodossa. Allura għalihom hija differenti. Biss xorta hemm ħafna similarities ħanejtek fir-reliġjon. Allura huma xorta fehmu il-kunċett. Ma femmuħx bħalma femmuħ il-Maltin, kif taqbad tgħid, tifhem? Għax hija xi ħaġa kif taqbad tgħid ta' l-identità tagħna.
Collections għandek xi ħaġa dal-waqt naħseb mhux ħanejdu ħafna fuqha ma forsi xi ħin żgħira.
Mela,
future project insomma jien nitkellmu.
Le, proġetti fimni dejjem għaddejjin, dejjem għaddejjin. Bħalissa għaddejja qed naħdem fuq l-istudio qed nirranġaħ kif taqbad tgħid ħalli qed niżviluppa iktar, imma la immuvjajna f'location oħra diġà pass, ovvjament kollox bil-mod il-mod. Future goals il-collection ġdida, mixja bil-mod il-mod ukoll. Ifem, tara ma xiex tiltaqa' ma' żmien ħanejtek.
U inti tħithom ukoll l-affarijiet?
Bdejt inħithom jiena, ma bad ovvjament permett iktar ma bdew jikbru l-collections kelli nsib l-assistenza ta' nies professjonali.
Rajt klip fuq Facebook page tiegħek. Din nistgħu nsemmu hija kemm iffiċċur tiegħek nżammit. Kien hemm klip jismu Thorns. U jidher li kien hija collaboration ma' Charles and Ron ukoll.
Eħe. Il-pala designers konna collaboration jiena u Charles and Ron, pala team kien hemm Marisa Grima, l-stylist, il-modelli tagħha, u kien hemm ukoll xi modelli ta' Karina, director kien Stephen Vella, photographer, fashion photographer, u makeup artist Sasha. Eħe, dak pratikament hija bbażata fuq xi ħaġa romantika bej tipo tradiment. Imma fl-istess ħin ġib il-passat warajja, hija daqsxejn ta' kontradizzjoni wkoll. Għalkemm hedha ġo knisja fis-sens bdiet taħseb fid-nubit li għamlet. Tipu. L-idea kienet hekk.
Mela dan tistgħu issibuh taħt l-images. U kien hemm kurjożità oħra li għoġbitni f'dan il-klip. Kien hemm dawn l-imkater tar-rakmu li s-soltu jiena ġimgħi jiġini ħsieb ta' nisa anzjani li jkunu l-qudies b'dan il-maktur tal-bizzilla. Però hawnhekk rajnieh fuq ġifintur vera sbieħ u għadhom.
Dik l-idea kienet fil-video fimni jekk forsi taraħ naħseb anke aktar minn darba biex tifhem is-sens in deep tiegħu li kienu żewġ ġifintur li kellha t-fajla ċentrali. Ovvjament l-ewwel qattew l-identità tagħhom u meta hi ħasbet li kellha taħseb fid-nubit li kellha u mattew wiċċhom. U reġgħu tipo reġgħu marru għal magħha. Tipo qisu ħa jerġa' jirrepeti l-istess żball li sar.
Imma vera sabiħ bħala klip, vera ħelqosna jaħ.
Grazzi.
U l-fatt li qed miġbud ġo knisja.
Eżatti.
Nafx li tiġi semminna forsi xi ħaġa aktar fuq id-disini tiegħek u forsi xi kollezzjonijiet mill-passat.
Mela, pratikament l-ewwel kollezzjoni kienet waħda żgħira ta' six outfits. Kont ħadsem fija fil-New Designers Show ġew il-Malta Fashion Week ukoll. Kienet magħmula nista' ngħid 35% minnha mill-plastik, ġew il-plastik ukoll kien hemm il-prints, u kien hemm mix ta' materjali bħal lace u silver cloth. Ovvjament kien hemm dawn l-aċċessorji wkoll daqsxejn robusti inspirati mill-barokk ukoll. Ovvjament bik il-collection irnexxieli nieħu l-New Designer of the Year Award. U minn hemm ovvjament qatt maħaris lura u bqajt dejjem niżviluppa dik il-xi ħaġa differenti li fl-istess ħin tagħti l-identità bħala designer ukoll.
U jekk rajt sew kellek xi images li kellhom qishom parti minn armatura ta' kavallieri.
Eżatt, dawk huma li kienu ispirati mill-barokk. Fil-fatt il-katt tagħhom hija kollha bil-kurvi nista' ngħid huma meħudin mill-istil.
U dawn nistgħu narawhom f'image number 6. Naħseb li sirna nafu Ritjen żammid daqsxi aħjar issa. Thank you ħafna Ritjen. U jekk wieħed ikun nixtieq jagħmel kuntatt miegħek. Għandek xi website u xi hekk?
Bħala website hija ritjenzammid.com jew inkella through il-Facebook page li hija jġib l-istess isem Ritjen Żammid.
Thank you ħafna Ritjen.
Ingrazzjalek.
U awguri. U eager biex naraw il-collection ġdida. Li ħirġa meta?
Għandha tiġi llonċjata fin-next Malta Fashion Week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
After we met a contemporary fashion designer, next we will be meeting the 18th century fashion designer, or better called milliner, Rose Bertin. I have included abstracts from a podcast from a series called Stuff You Missed in History Class, which you can find at www.missedinhistory.com, where the hostesses, Tracy Wilson and Holly Frey, will be telling us more about Bertin. I have only included short snippets, however, I urge you to listen to all the podcast, as there are quite a number of juicy stories and gossip episodes about this millionaire. The link for the podcast can be found on the website under Programs 5 tab. So first we will hear a bit about the wardrobe of Queen Marie Antoinette, and we will get to know this Rose Bertin.
And the legendary wardrobe of Marie Antoinette, who is not exactly who we're talking about, but she does figure prominently in the story. Her wardrobe has been criticized, it's been envied, it's been discussed to no end by historians and sociologists. But where did all those glorious clothes come from is a bigger question. And in large part, they were the work of a woman named Rose Bertin and her staff. And Bertin was a milliner who found herself basically the stylist to the queen. And she enjoyed a level of privilege that even royals were not really given at that time. And while there were certainly other people designing clothes long before Bertin, she was the first to really make this sort of transition from an anonymous dressmaker, although we'll talk in just a second about that term, to a famous dressmaker, to like basically a famous designer. And this was all because of the patronage of, you know, a famous clothes horse. And a note before we get started, you'll hear us refer to Rose Bertin throughout the episode as a milliner, which in today's parlance would mean that she was a hat maker. But in this time, someone with that title didn't only make hats. A milliner could be called upon to make dresses, to add trim and detailing to existing gowns. Sometimes like a gown would be brought in to be refreshed and all the trims would be taken off and new trims would be put on and different alterations would be made to make it look new and different.
So when she was only 16, Rose decided to move to Paris. She was smart and pretty and decided to use her charms to secure a position as an apprentice at a millinery shop. And the shop was called Trait Galant, which translates to gallant stroke or gallant feature.
And this shop was run by Mademoiselle Pagel, and it was already a supplier of accessories to the courts of France and Spain, so it was really quite a good position to get into. And Rose had not been working for very long for Mademoiselle Pagel when she was dispatched one evening to make a delivery to the Princess de Conti. And while she was at the princess's residence, she made small talk with a woman that she believed to be a chambermaid.
So, of course, it turns out that she was actually talking to the princess, and Rose was just hugely embarrassed at her gaffe, and she apologized profusely. The princess, who had found her to be just quite charming, reassured her that no ill had been done, her identity had not been made apparent. The princess also promised ongoing goodwill toward Bertin on her part.
And the princess's fondness for this young milliner was almost immediately manifest. Soon after the two met and this embarrassing but fundamentally beneficial event took place, A royal marriage between the Duc de Chartres and Louise-Marie-Adelaide de Bourbon was arranged, and Rose, at her new royal friend's recommendation, was called upon to make the bride's trousseau. She's like a huge get in terms of...
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
This was a really lucrative bridal order, and it not only brought Rose into the favor of the royals, who would all need clothing and accessories, but it also elevated her position in the shop. Mademoiselle Pagel made Rose a partner in the millinery shop.
And from this point on, Rose's royal patrons only grew in number.
The Duchess praised Rose's skills and personality and suggested that she be chosen to make the ensemble that the new princess would change into at Strasbourg border crossing as she stepped onto French soil and became a woman of France.
Yeah, so just in case anybody doesn't know that, hasn't seen the movies about Marie Antoinette, etc., when she crossed from Austria into France, she changed all of her clothes, she changed everything, so that she would emerge onto French soil as a French princess and leave Austria behind. And so Rose made that outfit that she changed into, which is a huge deal, because that was also the outfit that most people would see her in for the first time, sort of her arrival ensemble.
Symbolic and also actually important.
Yes. And the lobbying of the Duchess de Chartres, along with similar pleas from other royals that Bertin had won over as clients, actually got the young entrepreneur her order and the first exposure to her of her work to the new princess. So in addition to it being important because it was a huge imagery issue for France, it also gave the woman who would be queen her first taste of French clothing. So it was important on many levels.
Yeah. So Bertin soon got her first in-person introduction to the princess from Austria. It's entirely likely that the talented but also business-savvy milliner was just completely aware of the opportunity that was presenting itself to her. If she pleased the new Dauphine, all of France would be clamoring for her work.
But once Marie Antoinette became queen, she, in her first year as queen, she accrued a debt of 300,000 livres in clothing expenses. And the king did not actually know she was racking up quite that much, but she did it just the same.
So the vast majority of this money was going right to Rose Bertin. And so this sounds incredibly lucrative, and it is. It was only a small portion of the money that she was making through her shop. So where the Dauphine and then Queen went for her gowns and her accessories, that was where everyone wanted to go. So traditionally, the clothing choices for the male royals in attendance at a coronation ceremony would be in a style which evoked no specific era or style of dress. Of course, neither Marie Antoinette nor Rose Bertin would agree to that idea at all.
Yeah, and additionally, I mean, they kind of had this room to argue about it, or argue their case, because a royal consort had not been part of a coronation since Catherine de' Medici in 1547. There had been several bachelor kings in a row on the French throne. So there was more than a 200-year-long lag since the last lady in Marie Antoinette's position, and there wasn't a convention to follow based on that. And so the Dauphine and her designer kind of took advantage of that gap in protocol to go, all right, we're making a huge gown and it's going to be ridiculous and wonderful.
Ridiculous and wonderful is right. The gown Bertin made for Marie Antoinette to wear was encrusted with jewels, including many, many sapphires, and also heavy embroidery. This made the garment enormously heavy. The dressmaker slash designer tried to arrange a special carriage just to take it to the soon-to-be queen.
Yeah, I don't know that she was granted that wish. And Marie Antoinette was placed on a special stand to view the ceremony. And I don't know if, load-bearing issues were part of that because of this gown.
Yeah, well, and gowns...
But she couldn't really walk around in it.
Yeah, gowns of this era were already extremely heavy compared to what we wear today.
Yeah.
But this would be extraordinarily heavy on top of that already. Heavy.
Yeah, helmet. I mean, it would not be... people probably have the image of the big, wide-hipped, you know, the pannier-shaped gowns. It's not uncommon for those to take 20 yards of fabric just because of the many layers and the shape of it is so wide.
Mm-hmm.
it, so on top of the weight of 20 yards of fabric is the weight of heaven only knows the value of all of those jewels and heavy, like, gold bullion embroidery, which is very heavy on its own.
And then underpinnings, in case that was not enough.
Yes. So it was a significant achievement in clothing engineering, I would even say.
And now for the last point, let's see how she managed to get such a business going and be able to sustain it.
So as the crowds followed Marie Antoinette in style, Bertin was able to develop this rather ingenious way to just keep the money flowing in. She would take the orders from the rest of the royals for gowns that were similar to the ones the queen wore. And as the queen saw more and more people dressed like her, she would get tired of that and want something new and different.
Yeah, so Bertin would design new styles for Her Majesty. You know, she also had a hand in the hairstyle. So there was lifting the hair higher. There was shifting the drape of a skirt by bustling it a la Polonaise, accenting with feathers, etc. And with each of these changes that kind of updated the style, the masses would follow and the queen would again want something new. So she kind of developed this perfect cycle of just continuous orders.
This planned obsolescence of royal clothing.
So smart.
It was really an effective business model. Her shop stayed busy with an array of clients wanting all the latest styles while she simultaneously worked on fashions for the queen that were going to become the next big style and bring the same people right back to her for a wardrobe update.
And Bertin normally visited the queen twice a week, and she would discuss new designs, she would review sketches and textiles, they would talk about the styling and accessorizing that was going to accompany individual looks. And so she really became her stylist in many regards, even though there were other people making clothes for the queen as well, if that can just blow your mind some more, hundreds of gowns a year. But this level of access to the queen that Bertin had would normally be absolutely unheard of for someone outside the royal circle. But Marie Antoinette's obsession with fashion afforded the milliner these special privileges, and it also earned Bertin the nickname Minister of Fashion among Marie Antoinette's critics.
So today we met a contemporary fashion designer, Ritien Zammit, and also one of the pioneers in fashion designing, Rose Bertin. That was all for today. Hope you enjoyed our show, and I invite you to join us next week for another program of Savoir Faire. These programs are available on the Campus FM website, which is MaltaUniversityBroadcasting.com. And you will be able to find all the past programs from this website. And this program was brought to you by the History of Art Department under the coordination of Dr. Giuseppe Scambri Bonacci, the Artistic Director of the Mina Biennale 2015. And also, for more info about the Biennale, you can visit www.minabiennale.org. See you next week!